Have you ever asked yourself the question, why am I doing this? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what am I doing with my life? Does that get stressful? What am I doing with my life? Is it broken down into smaller questions? Questions like, what if I fail that big test that's coming up on Wednesday? What if I don't get into this ultra-competitive program? What if I pick the wrong major? What if I have to do a fifth year? What if I don't find my spouse while I'm in college? What if we're asking the wrong questions? What if instead of asking so many questions about your life, you ask different questions? Just pause for a second, though. Just the ability to ask questions about your life is really good. God made us good. We're different than the other creation. We can reflect on ourselves and we can ask those questions. What am I doing with my life? That's self-reflection. But the danger, friends, is if self-reflection becomes self-referential. And that's why I want you to ask some different questions. What if the question about your life isn't really just your life? What if your life is meant to be a partnership with God? What if God has chosen you? What if God knows you personally? What if God has a plan and a purpose for your life? And what if he's anxious to reveal that to you so you can get on with it with him? See, that changes everything, doesn't it? And that's why the gospel's so good for us tonight, because so much stress, especially you young people, is all centered around you being like, what do I do? What is my life about? And the Lord says, let's do it together. Let's do it together. So this gospel, right? Jesus is going along the Sea of Galilee. It's beautiful. The gift is for me to reflect on this gospel, because at one point in my seminary formation, when I was a deacon, I got to go to the Holy Land, and I prayed along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. It's like, man, did that call happen here? Or did it happen here? Or did it happen here? And I just walked the shoreline, and I'm like, it happened here, somewhere here. In a real way, Jesus called real men. And Matthew's telling is a beautiful one, so let's get into it. Jesus saw two brothers casting a net into the sea. Jesus saw. The Greek tense there is the aorist tense. It's not a quick glance. It's not a superficial looking. It's a deep and abiding gaze. Jesus saw two brothers. And it's beautiful because they're actually doing something. They're casting a net into the sea. And Matthew's telling uses a specific word for that net. See, sometimes we think of the apostles as these bumbling idiots. And at times they were, but not now. Because what Matthew talks about is this net that is specific to skilled fishermen. And I can imagine Jesus looking and seeing them. In the same way, maybe some of you who like to fly fish would watch a really good fly fisherman and say, it is good to see that. It's good to watch that. And so he sees them casting their nets, and they're skilled. And Jesus looks, and he sees that, and he says it's good. But he sees more than just skilled men doing something that is good. He sees them. And just as they're fishing for fish, he's fishing for them. And he sees them, and he sees what they could become. And there's anticipation and excitement because he's the one who knows them better than they know themselves. And so when he looks at them and he sees them, he sees that this is the moment that these two men who have no idea what's in store for them will begin to become who they were created to be from all eternity. God is not passive. He is active. He sees this and he's energized and excited and intentional as he goes for them. So as much as they're doing their thing, Jesus is doing his thing. You know, as a priest, there's times when I get to see someone right on the cusp of becoming who they are called to be. There's nothing more exciting to see a heart starting to catch fire, to see someone hearing the call of Jesus and responding to it. And all I can tell you is you see it and you say, this is very good. Very good. Like the same sentiment I'm sure the Father had when he was looking at creation, seeing it all. He sees it all and he says, this is very good. Because I look out and I see so much here in this chapel. There's so much talent. There's so many giftings. Intellectual giftings, sure. But deep giftings of the heart, kindness, courage, compassion, perseverance, a deep desire to do good in the world. And I think as much as you are all about your own things and trying to develop and grow into the type of person who can do some good in the world, I think so much about how much Jesus looks at you and sees you and says, this is good. Now I want to take it to the next level. And so Jesus takes Peter and Andrew and he takes them to the next level. And he says, come after me. Come after me. Matthew writes, he said to them, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. This come after me, that's the invitation. And by the way, friends, it's really strong in the scriptures. This isn't just like a, hey, what are you doing? Like, come. No, it's like, get right behind me. That's the sentiment from the phrase in the Hebrew. Get right behind me. Get real close to me. Jesus doesn't say, hey, guys, I'm giving a little lecture. 3 o'clock tomorrow, you might want to come listen to what I have to say. I'm going to teach you some really cool things. Show up. It'll be interesting for you. There'll be pizza afterwards. He gets right close to them and he's like, come after me. And there's something so compelling about that. And maybe let me time out for just a second from the gospel and tell you a great story about that, because this is how it always works. So when I was studying in Rome, I happened to be in Rome when St. John Paul II died. And so we were in the interregnum between popes. The conclave was happening. There would be at some point white smoke out of the Sistine Chapel chimney, and we would have a new pope. And so I was bound and determined not to miss that moment. So I did what any good seminarian would do in that situation. I skipped all my classes so I wouldn't miss the moment. So I was down there, I'm like, where's class? Class is in St. Peter's today. I'm just gonna go down, hang out, and see what happens. And it was awesome, because there was amazing evangelization opportunities. It was really beautiful and cool. But that story is not about me. The story I want to tell you is about Sister Dorothy, who was this tiny little Korean sister who was in all of our classes. And she would always come in just this ball of energy, right? This, I would say 5 foot, but I don't think she made it there. She was like 4'10". Little sister, right? But she always had running shoes on and she was always on the move. And after the conclave happened, and the white smoke came and we had a new pope, I caught up with her the next day and asked her, were you there? Everybody's like, were you there? And she told me this story, and the story was this. She was faithful and obedient, unlike me. So she was at class when the white smoke came, and word got to the Gregorian University, which is about 2.5 miles away from St. Peter's, and everybody got excited, and she's like, I need to be there. And so what did Sister do? she starts grabbing her books, throwing her book bag on, and then she starts running to St. Peter's. Running, on the move. She is on the move. You have to imagine little 4'10" sister, right? Running down the streets of Rome, backpack on, right? And she sees this group of young people who are sitting. They're sitting. And they see her running, and they start looking at her, and they point, and they laugh. Because you have to imagine this sister with veil flying, sprinting, right? And she stops, and she sees them, and she says, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "Why are you running?" And she's like, "We have a pope." And they were not from a churched culture, which is common in Europe. And they're like, "What's a pope in Rome?" She said, "Follow me." And guess what that happened? All of a sudden, it wasn't just 4'0" sister running down the street. It was 4'0" sister with 7 young people from Scandinavia running after her to St. Peter's. On the move, right behind her. Friends, that story is like Jesus. So oftentimes we think we're going to find Jesus by just sitting and doing nothing, like praying even. And it's fine to pray, but Jesus is on the move. And he wants us to move. That's his passion. That's his desire for us, to move with him, to come after him. And if you meet Jesus, and not just his teaching, and not just knowledge about him in some theology class or history class, but if you actually meet the real, true, living God, you can't help but move. Your heart moves with him. He becomes the only thing that matters. And every other choice only makes sense in light of how it brings you closer to Jesus. That's what Jesus invites us into. Come after me. I'll make you fishers of men. Friends, so often in our life, all we're doing is trying to make ourselves into something that we think will be pleasing to ourselves. And it doesn't work, because we only find ourselves by giving ourselves away. We only find ourselves by giving ourselves back to the one who made us. And when we do that, then, and only then, can real life break into our lives. Only then will we find who we're called to be. Jesus invites us into that. He wants to make something of you much bigger, much better, much greater than anything you or I could ever make of ourselves. That's the invitation. But we have to follow. We have to go. We have to be like Peter and Andrew. They leave their nets, and they go immediately. They don't ponder, they don't wait. They recognize in Jesus the deepest desire of their hearts, and they go for it. And everything changes after that. That's the danger for us, friends, is that we don't go for it. And maybe it's because we haven't actually met Jesus. Maybe we think we have. Our danger is that we only kind of, sort of, almost a little bit follow Jesus. We like to follow him, but follow from a safe distance. One of the great priests in my life, Father Chris Hellstrom, said this. He said, following Jesus from a safe distance is neither following him nor is it safe. You can't follow Jesus from a safe distance. You got to get right behind him. So tonight, is the Lord calling you? You bet he is. He sees you. He sees you. He knows your heart better than you know yourself. And he calls you to follow him. What does that call look like? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I just know he's calling you. And the greatest adventure of your life will begin when you say yes, when you actually follow him. So my friends, do not be afraid. Jesus sees you. He calls you, and he will make you into something better than you could possibly imagine. Let the adventure begin.